We have decided that we're going to talk about a beautiful subject, which is about the love and tranquility in the family. And we know that the family issues are on the top of the issues that people are always concerned about outside the Muslim countries, because it has the biggest share of their needs and their daily activities. And actually, there was an incident that forced us to make this our topic, inshallah. What happened in Paris and how it is attached to the extremes of Muslims, the extremes of Muslims. So I wanted our meeting today is to comment on this problem, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide us and to avoid us to make any mistakes or any things that could make him angry at us. The American Jurist Muslim Association, you know, they looked at this and analyzed it, and they made a comment. First of all, they declare that the Amja, with anger, they denounce the bombing that happened in the French capital that left hundreds of dead and injured. And we stress on denying this Islamically or from a civilized way. This is something we denounce. We condemn this act in all the strongest fashion or form available. First of all civil lives are sacred and safe, should be saved and protected. And today we will talk about details and about this issue. We are just talking about the statement of Amja, and then inshallah we'll comment on this. So the secrecy of the life soul is a top priority, and it playing or missing with the lives of civilians and innocent people, it is something should be punished and be caught and stopped and should be brought to justice. And all philosophy, all ideas and all ideologies that contradict this are enemy of all religions and all laws of every civilization everywhere. And it has nothing to do with any religion or any civilized nation anywhere. And terrorists are a complicated thing sometimes, whether it is the terrorists of state terrorism or organized terrorism or the individual ones. You cannot deal with each one without dealing with all of them. So to combat terrorism and totality, we have to look at all forms of terrorism and try to look at it from a justice point of view and fairness, with no area for personal ideologies or personal thinking. And after that, it talks about to combat terrorism only with weapons is not the sole way. It has to be It allows all forms, the media, the ideologies, and to combat it with fairness and with truthfulness and with honesty and fairness. Because we don't want to put fuel into to this problem. We need and we first again we condemn this act. It does not matter to whatever source that they belong, they claim that they belong to. We condemn this from a religious point of view, a political point of view, from individual as a human being too. And we give our condolences to all the victims and to the communities that have been. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to put peace on earth and to guide the leaders everywhere to bring justice and fairness and peace and tranquility to all communities everywhere. So peace will come back again to the injured earth that is suffering from these injustice acts. So humanity that is suffering from these acts, and Allah is the one that we seek in His pleasure. Now, this is the statement that Amjad came with. The first issue that I would like to talk about is the importance of the secrecy of the life of all civilians, all people, and how Allah Azza wa Jalla gets angry for those who mess with the lives of people. The blood of people cannot be allowed except for three things: when someone is intentionally killing you, try to kill you, or like someone killed someone intentionally, and the married who commit adultery, and the one who leave his religion and leave the community that he's in. Besides this, and outside the Muslim country, you cannot kill anyone except in the act of war where there is an aggression on Islam or the Islamic State. And we distinguish between the legitimate war that we all know through history and the holy war that is known in the Western ideology, which is to make people hate a certain religion and to force them to enter another one with the force of sword. We have a rule. Allah said in the Quran, there is no compulsory in Islam. You cannot force someone to accept the religion of Islam. It's been distinguished the right from wrong. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, the part of it where it says, with the peace, then the souls of the non-Muslims is protected. And I want to stress that today, that the whole entire earth, every country, every human society, they entered in a peace treaty with each other, whether through individual treaties between those nations or between the declarations of the United Nations. All states that already signed this, you cannot people think that individual who are not Muslims outside this community, they are people of enemies. Yes, they are not Muslims, but they are protected by the treaty, by Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger, by the religion of Islam. And when you go and get a visa, when you get your passport and you get your visa or green card or citizenship, you are signing a treaty in here. You're not dealing with you are dealing with the official state that's already established. Like if you want to enter any country, no matter where, you didn't go to an organization or institution in that place. No, you go to the country of that state. So you go to their embassy, get their visa. When that visa is issued, you have signed a contract with that country. This is a contract of peace. And if some idiot said that, oh, these rules are not Islamic and it prevented Muslims from the right path, there is at least they have the doubt of peace and tranquility that no one can deny that. If they don't have 100%, they have all the peace that should be preserved for them. The only way that you don't, if they declared war and they stopped contact, then between those two countries, then there is war, but there is also there is rules that control the war. And one of the first rule that you don't go and be aggressive, attack non-combatant. You don't fight peaceful people, the civilians. You fight the soldiers of that country that declared war on you. But you don't claim that, oh, you're going to go and kill civilians. There is rules that organize the society. A Muslim cannot risk his life in the hereafter by disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla, thinking that he's going to be among those who will enter heaven. You are more in need to always make sure that every act that you're going to do, that is with Allah's pleasure. Killing the civilians, again, is not one of those. The jihad, one of its rules, that you do not, and I stress, you do not intentionally try to attack civilians. And here we're talking about intentionally, don't mean to, but it could happen by mistake, or people who use them as human shield, and there was no, and that happened by accident, or defending yourself, and this happened to be in the wrong place. All kids, women, elders, any civilian, people who stay in their own worship places, you do not never, ever be after them in their places of peace and try to fight them or kill them. That's during the war. Can you imagine when there is no war? If this is the act of Islam, of not to attack them during the war. Abdullah said that a woman was found dead in one of the battles of the Prophet. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, has forbidden killing the women and young kids during the war. He cannot intentionally try to attack the civilians. And the son of Abu Dawood, in a good authentication from Ibn Rabi', he said that we were with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And people saw, and then he saw people are gathered on something. So he sent somebody to see what they're gathered for. He said, on a woman who died. He, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, she was not a fighter. So she should not be killed. She should not be intentionally be killed. And on the front was Khalid ibn Walid. He said, tell Khalid, do not kill any woman or Asifa. It's like young people. Allahu Akbar. And another narration, he said, go to Khalid ibn Walid, that tell him that the Prophet ﷺ is ordering, do not kill the women or kids, nor their maids. Those civilians who have nothing to do with the aggression that's been done against the Muslims, or so killing the civilians in any form, fashion, is definitely wrong in Islam. It is a problem. And some of the problem that happened to our youth, and people, and you can see this in the net, and unfortunately people use to attach it to great scholars whom we respect, but these kids, they change the words of the scholars or they misinterpret the verdicts. For example, a question came, said that it is spread in the net, there is no secrecy to kill the civilians from any country that is fighting Muslim countries, and so they are not safe because and then he mentioned the five ways that the way to protect the civilians, and he said, and the disbeliever, if he have no dhimma, meaning he's not under the authority of the Muslim country, then he can kill them. And he claims that the Bani Qurayza, the Prophet ﷺ, he ordered to kill them, all their men, and to slay their wives, their women. The problem here, where are those who do not have the peace? The war that it is declared, it is something that our countries, our states, Islamic states, are with them on the same side. Right? Look, there is not a single Western country that fought any of those organizations without the cover of Islamic countries that's held in them. So I'm talking about saying that you give absolute killing to anybody, that all countries that are against any Islamic issue, then all their populations should be killed. This is wrong. This is very dangerous. And this is wrong from every aspect or way. And it has no grounds to even stand. This argument is a false argument. First of all, who has to declare this is, who is the one, who are you to be declaring that this population or this people are allowed to kill them? These are secret organizations, secret people that no one knows their identity, and they hide somewhere underneath the ground somewhere. They hide behind veils. So, but when you came to this country, you came to this country with a visa. This is a contract of peace. Whether it is a green card or any types of visa to enter this country or any other country, in fiqh, in Islam, these are peace contracts that you have signed, and you cannot, under no circumstances, to find it permissible to kill or to play with the lives of these people. Allah says in the peace, and if one of the mushriks ask for your protection, then protect him until he hears the words of Allah and give him to his destiny, because these are people who do not know. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the Muslim have one dhimma, one contract, so whomever I'm not sure what he did, but Umm Hana said that she went with the Prophet ﷺ of the time of Fath, and he was taking a shower and his daughter Fatima is covering him. He said, who is this? She said, I'm Umm Hana, daughter of Abu Talib, his cousin. So when he finished his ghusl, he went and prayed 8 rak'ahs in one garment. When he left, when he finished, he said that my brother said that he killed a man that I gave him protection. He said, then we are protected, whomever you are protected, Ummuhani. The scholar said, who is the one who gives the peace? The visas are given by countries that in some people they get invitation to come in to visit this country, or to whether it is for a visitation or tourist visa. It doesn't matter where this it comes from. If you get a visa, or what kind of, it doesn't matter what kind of visa that gave you permission to enter any point of entrance to the United States or any Western country, then you have a contract of peace, and you have to protect their wealth and their blood and their lives, just like you protect the wealth, health, and the lives of the Muslims. And also, they are the one who also protecting your lives. Anytime you call 911, they will come to you. They don't distinguish whether you're a Muslim or non-Muslim, or you're white or black, or you are a foreigner, or you're a citizen. So anyone who calls the police, he will find that police will come to his safety, to come to his help. The rule, again, to claim that non-Muslims outside the Muslim countries, they are allowed to kill their lives, that is wrong. This is a wrong philosophy. This is a wrong ideology. And the result that you find the whole world, and according to that philosophy, that wrong philosophy, they think that everybody on earth you can kill. That you will find this is wrong, and the most people who suffer, most nobody suffers more than Muslims in this, because Muslims who are very weak everywhere. So if you open this door, then you have opened gates of hatred and death, that you have no burden. Plus, it is very important, you know, that this is against Islamic rules and traditions and rules of Islam. Al-Shafi'i used to say, if people, non-Muslims, enter the non-Muslims safely, they are safe until they leave them. They cannot betray them, nor to be aggressive on them, or to do them wrong. Now, if we go back to the statement of Amjad, that the first rule, that protection of the lives and souls of civilians, it is sacred in Islam. The believer, he is protected by his faith, and the non-Muslim is protected with the treaty, even with the doubt that they are in peace. It is said, if we have opened our Quran and we called our men and we have swear that we will not leave until we fight this area. But the other people, they thought that when we opened the Book of Allah, that we are asking them to give them peace. With that wrong thinking, they are safe, even though the intention is to fight them. And to fight them, but just because the other side thought this is a peace, a sign of peace, then you give it to them. Because humans, as everywhere, a society cannot be organized, life cannot go through unless there is rules of peace. Muslims are everywhere on earth. don't think that you can attack the non-Muslims and not think that the non-Muslims cannot attack the Muslims. Just like you think they have soft areas to attack, they are capable to attack double. Like after 9/11, what was the result for the Muslims? It was a disaster for all Muslims and Muslim community. We are still suffering from 9/11. No matter how you calculate it, no matter how you look at it, look at the good and the bad. What did we gain from the 9/11? And what did we suffer from? You will find it brought more suffering to the Muslims and wrong ideology and went against the da'wah of Islam than with this act of 9/11 that did not do nobody any good. And before that, we need to know that there are certain principles, there are certain red lines to Allah Azza wa Jalla. No one should go beyond, and whomever go beyond the lines of Allah, he has done himself wrong. You don't know. May Allah bring something else out. So all the philosophy, that all the wrong ideologies, with all these crazy philosophies or ideologies, they are against all principles of Islam, even if it is covered behind Sharia or political Islam. All these are ideologies that people just overused, overstepped the true principles of Islam. Justice and fairness is very important. Terrorism is a complicated issue. It's not only the individuals, also the organized and the state. Those who throw barrels of bombs on its population, that's terrorism. Killing one person is a crime that is not forgiven. And killing a whole nation is something that we're going to look at? No. This is the wrong ideology. This is the wrong analogy. You don't compare the terrorism of individuals and the terrorism of state terrorism. They're not the same, but we condemn both. We say no to wrong, both, they are wrong. And some people are saying, oh, now when a few hundred people died in Paris, we see you cry and we see you condone them, and we see statement of condolences. And we don't see any thing you did when hundreds and thousands of people died in Syria and Iraq and this and this. And we tell them, yes, it's true. All wrong things are wrong. We have to declare the wrong things wrong. And we have to say whatever the direction it came from, whether it's political, economical, or whatever. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has made aggression on himself wrong, forbidden, and he has forbidden it on his slaves. Allah said that I have forbidden aggression or transgression on myself, and I made it wrong on you. So we're talking about only this issue because of what happened. That does not mean that there is not a lot of crimes that we see, whether it comes from states, and we condemn all of them, and all of it makes Allah Azza wa Jal unhappy with the person, because the sacredness of humans does not you cannot part it, because the definition of the whole earth is better to Allah Azza wa Jal, this whole earth that's what's in it. And the Prophet said, whomever killed a mu'ahad, the one that he has that treaty, he will not smell the smell of Jannah. If Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and whomever killed a woman, then his punishment will be hellfire eternally, and Allah has condemned him and he prepares to him severe punishment. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whomever killed a person for ahad, then he will never smell the smell of Jannah. And whomever gives his slave who is not Muslims falsely, and he has a treaty with Muslims, or gave him more than his burden, Allah ﷺ said that he is the one who is going to be speaking on his behalf at the Day of Judgment against the person who's being wronged to, or wrong transgression is forbidden. Well, I said, what is wrong? It is dark, it brings darkness at the Day of Judgment. We always say facing this wrong ideologies by or combating them with weapons is not enough only. I mean, you have to have dialogue, you have to combat them and defeat them with the words, and to debate with them with very forcefully, because this is part of the is required declaration of the religion of Allah. Because people who claim that people are non-Muslims, this is something severe, big, and a Muslim should always be aware and not to play or gamble with his life. And we stress on and we have to remember Allah's warning for those who go to the extreme, and Allah mentioned that extremes who on those who over exceed on the scale. Allah said, don't they know that they are waiting for a big day where people will stand up for the Lord at the Day of Judgment? So this issue, it requires that we have to revisit all these and to combat extremism with debate, and we have to do our part and do everything in our possible, in our hand, and anything beyond our capability, we ask Allah to forgive us. But we're talking about what we are capable of doing, and we can use it to fix the land we live in, is to talk about these issues. About this is one of the requirements from Allah Azza wa Jal, and to remove any doubts about our religion and make sure people do not get confused in Islam. Allah said, and to have jihad with them, a big struggle, to have that big struggle. The Muslim always have to be concerned about two things: to protect Islam on the Muslims. The other one is to call people to non-Muslim to Islam, and to protect Islam on to people to know the standards, the fiqh, the beliefs, the characters. And to make sure you deliver rightfully, and to bring the proof, and not to make people confused. This is part of jihad. So whomever is capable to do that in any of these issues, the Prophet ﷺ says, tell about me even if it is one ayah. So whomever remember one ayah from the Book of Allah and understood it, well, he do not change it from its meaning, and do not hurt this meaning. He need to deliver it on behalf of Allah. And Allah said, those who does that and they will fear Him and do not fear anyone else, sallallahu alayhi. And we would like to conclude that one of the rewards of Islam and its teaching is to establish justice and to forbid the revenge. Muslims they are the best of people. They don't point fingers falsely on people, because justice in Islam is a general rule, does not stop whether it is the place or religion that's in front of you. Does not differentiate between them. And Allah ordered that in the Quran to establish justice and fairness. And whomever is poor, Allah is sufficient for them. And another verse says, do not make the hatred of others that you don't do justice, be fair or justice. It is better, closer to piety. And this with the friend and with the enemy, at the time of ease and the time of anger. Allah the Almighty says, to be wise either on yourself or the parents or the close relatives. And Allah warns us not to follow the desires and don't let the desire stop us from justice and fairness. At the end, I would like to make sure that these points are went through and there will be no doubts. Because there is no Muslim who stays outside the Muslim countries, and he needs to consider himself as representative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not as ambassador, or you're not ambassador to a king or a ruler or prince. You are representative of da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are the ambassador of the message of Allah. And our mistakes are counted on us more than our good deeds, and this is wrong, and this is aggression. But this is our life, and this is the character that's happening. People look at our mistakes and they emphasize them, and this is the truth. That's why the dua used to be, O Allah, do not make us a fitna to the disbelievers, and to save us with your mercy from the wrong standing. So Allah said, do not make us a fitna to those who disbelieve, and forgive us. You are the distinguished, most forgiven. So whomever represents the Prophet ﷺ and he's ambassador to his own religion, then he needs to prepare for this. It's right, and to know that extremism, whether it's short or to go beyond, the punishment for it will be doubled. It is wrong because it is a sin, and also his wrongdoing to the da'wah of Allah Azza wa Jal and the trust that the Prophet ﷺ has put on you, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us safety, inshallah. Inshallah, we continue on Thursday. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. أن يأخذ بنواصينا لما يحب ويرضى، أن يجنبنا الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن، أن يحملنا وإياكم في أحمد الأمور عنده وأجملها عاقبة، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه، وصلى اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
مثل نوره كمشكاة مصباح.